The James Croft Evangelistic Association presents Walking with a Giant, a monthly broadcast ministry of 3 foot 10 inch tall evangelist James Croft. Now, here's James.
Boy, am I excited about being here with you again on Walking with the Giant. Welcome into our program. Had a lot of technical difficulties, so what you're going to hear today is actually a combination for February and March. And then we'll be back on schedule with the April program. Today, got a great lineup for you. We're going to hear from Evangelist Rafaela G. Kingby in our Ghana update. We'll also be talking with Dr. Harold Hudson of Fellowship Baptist Church in Rayford, Florida. An interesting story to tell there. That's coming up in Talking with the Giant. And then we'll have a ministry update as well as the second part of our message on the rock. Let's get underway.
Time now for the Ghana update. Bringing light to the dark continent, Evangelist Rafael Aji Kingby shares the gospel of Jesus Christ in Ghana, West Africa.
I'm on the telephone now with Evangelist Ralph, as we call him, who is the coordinator of our Ghana missions activity in Ghana, West Africa, and he's also the director of Zion Evangelistic Ministry. Ralph, welcome to Walking with the Giant again.
Yes, Papa. I'm mad glad to be on this show the second time.
Ralph, before we get underway with some of the ministry activities, I've received several questions. They heard on the last program you calling me Papa. And so the question they wanted to know is, why does Ralph call you Papa? So I'm going to let you explain why I'm called Papa in Ghana.
Yes, Papa. We call you Papa. The very first time you came to Ghana, and we realized that most of the times here we called senior pastors or bishops and elderly senior men in ministry, we always call them Papa. So we realized that you being our senior man, you being our director, you deserve to be called Papa, Papa, Papa James. And more also, in here in Africa, most especially Ghana, we've not seen like your stature and most of them doing the ministry work like this before. So we realize that you, being doing the ministry work of God, you deserve to be called Papa.
Ralph, yes. When we last spoke, you were planning the Gathering of the Saints ministry, which was about to get underway in a few days after we had talked. How did that go? What were the results of that gathering?
Papa, it was very marvelous. It's very exciting. It means that the Gathering of the Saints 2006 sounded very powerfully. And we have the local preachers coming down. We have the whole auditorium packed to its capacity. And we had the overflow, people sitting outside. And Papa, we have many giving their lives to Christ. After the minister preaches, I sent a call for invitation for them to surrender their lives to Christ. And Papa, one night we have about 6 people giving their life to Christ, and it's a very exciting, Papa.
That is very exciting. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Now, in the month of February, you went into some of the local schools. Did you go into the public schools or the private schools?
Papa, both. I went to both, the public and the private. And one of the private schools and then one of the public schools. I think 30 people, about 30 students, giving their life to Christ when I minister to them the gospel. And the other private schools, I have about 10. And I go there most often on Wednesdays and Fridays. On Wednesdays and Fridays.
Well, very good. So you had about 40 or so students give their life to Christ during the month of February.
Yes, Papa.
Well, that is outstanding. Now, Ralph, you are beginning a new program. Tell me a little bit about what's going to happen at the Zion Evangelistic Building beginning March the 6th.
One night I was praying, and the Lord was giving me the direction for us to start intercessory meetings to intercede for communities, nations, ministries, evangelists, and pastors. And Papa, this is one of the major things we want to do. Because until prayer has been invested into the realms, many will not be saved. I'm gathering all intercessors into the auditorium, and we are going to pray from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. It is going to be 2 hours prayer session, Papa.
I can tell everyone that is listening that when Ralph and his group begin to pray, God begins to move. And so please send your prayer requests. You can go to my website and send me an email or either post it in our guest book, and I will see that Ralph gets each one of those requests. And so not only will we be praying for them here in America, but also in Teshi, Accra, Ghana, West Africa. Ralph, thank you for joining us again. Give all of our best and our love to your wife, Mavis, and to all of your family and to the saints who work with you.
Yes, Papa. Thank you very much. And God bless you all, Papa.
Let's talk.
Okay.
Let's talk.
Thank you.
What do you got to say? It's time now for Talking with the Giant. Here's James.
On Wednesday, January the 25th, as I was returning from an appointment in Gainesville, Florida, traveling towards Lake Butler, Florida, I was going to be preaching at my home church for the Wednesday night service, which is First Baptist Church of Lake Butler, Florida. As I began to come into Lake Butler, I noticed the traffic had come to a complete stop. After sitting there for quite some time, we began to move very, very slowly toward the intersection of State Road 121 and County Road 231. As we got to the intersection, I seen local law enforcement had held the traffic up, and in fact, they had completely blocked off the State Road 121 traveling to the south. And immediately your mind races to something terrible must have happened for them to block off the entire roadway. So I began to get on my cell phone and make a few phone calls to some friends, and I soon learned that there had been an accident on State Road 121, which involved a Union County school bus, a car, and a semi-tractor trailer. There were 9 students that were still on the bus, all of which were injured, some very severely, and as the time of this recording, 2 still remain in the hospital. The truck driver was ejected from the semi-truck and was also injured, and in the car there were 7 children, aging in range from 21 months to 15 years, all from the same family, and all perished. That night, my message certainly changed at First Baptist of Lake Butler to a message of hope and a lot of prayer. And it was a tough service to do. We did not have anyone that was directly impacted. None of the injured, none of the dead were related to members of our church. But still, Union County is a very small county in the state of Florida, and it's a very close-knit family, and so everyone was actually impacted. But there was a church that was more impacted than anyone else, and that was Fellowship Baptist Church in Rayford, Florida. All 7 of the children attended that church, and I'm joined today by the pastor of Fellowship Baptist Church, Brother Harold Hudson. Brother Harold, first of all, let me thank you for taking the time today to join us.
Well, it's a great privilege for me to be here with you.
I can't imagine walking in your shoes. I can't imagine what it would be to deal with that type of a loss of life in the same church at the same time from the same family and all of them children. That Wednesday night, what was it like at Fellowship Baptist Church?
Well, it was probably the worst scene that I've ever seen as far as young people are concerned. I was a little bit late getting to the church that Wednesday night because we'd gone down to try to meet with the family, and did meet partly with the family. We never did get a chance to meet with the mother and dad. And then I left with Mr. Mann's brother, that we went down close to where the accident had happened.
And Mr. Mann being the family.
That's right, the family.
Of the deceased children.
That's right. And so we got back in. Brother Jesse was doing the Bible study that night. We had all the young people in the auditorium. And when I went in, I've never seen such grief and devastation in the lives of these young people over the tragedy. They were in a terrible, terrible shape that night. The fact of it is, my granddaughter, I've never seen her in such a terrible shape. I think the word be just the most grief that I think I've ever seen at one place at one time.
I'm thinking everything in your church has immediately changed at that point.
Well, when I first got a call, we were thinking maybe our folks were okay. That was the first report that we felt like that that our kids were not on it. And then a little bit later, we got the call that that they had been the car and found out that the one that we thought was not there was, and that was Nikki. And come to find out that she and the other kids that she was driving in the car, and the fact of it is, they were on their way home to get ready for the church van to pick them up, getting ready to go to church. Fact of it is, little Johnny, he and my granddaughter go to the same school, and the last words he said to her as they were leaving school that day, he said, "I'll see you at church tonight."
My stars. Mm-hmm. Again, I can't fathom what it was like.
It's just a really devastation, grief beyond comprehension.
Since the children had attended here, their relationship with the Lord, I know some of them were very young and obviously probably had not reached an age where they began to think in those terms, but those that were older, had y'all had any experience with them and working with them on their relationship with the Lord?
The three oldest kids that went here, which was Elizabeth and Johnny and Nikki, all of whom had been saved through the youth program of this church.
Outstanding.
And I had baptized them. Some time ago.
That had to, in a time of such grief and despair, had to at least be a spark of good news.
Well, we knew where they were. That was the
right
thing that I think that really helped everybody, even though there was sorrow and grief. Yet we knew, and this is what we communicated to those kids, that, you know, they were no longer on earth, but they were still alive. They were in heaven, and so I think for all of us, and not only the kids, but a lot of older folks were very devastated by what had happened, as we all know this community was.
Tell us a little bit about the days following that and leading up to the funeral, and I'm sure that even in the midst of the tragedy, this church had a wonderful opportunity to minister.
Well, as a result of the accident, there have been 14 young people that have come to know Christ as their Savior through this. And so, you know, out of the tragedy came life for these kids, and
exactly,
only God knows whether or not they would have ever been saved had it not been something that was so overwhelming to them that made them think about their eternal security. And so they were saved. They were born into the family of God through the tragedy.
Praise God. That's
so out of the tragedy has come some great joy in the fact of young people being saved.
Out of death of saints comes life for people.
That's right.
Now. Outstanding. You conducted, or assisted at least, on the funeral for four of the children. Give us an insight into the mind and heart of a pastor as he prepares for something of that magnitude.
Well, you know, it's as you well know, being in the ministry, it's a lot different when you do a funeral memorial service for somebody that you know that's in heaven,
right,
compared to someone who has never trusted Christ, and you know that the chances are that the person had gone in a wrong direction. It was comforting to know that the three oldest kids and of course the other two young ladies, I understand that they had been saved in Hawthorne, so
that's great.
That meant that all of the older children had already made a profession of faith in Christ. And of course, little Heaven, who was about 3 years old, and the little boy, about 20 months old, the Lord made that decision for him. So
exactly.
So that all all of them, all seven of them are in heaven today, and so. And I think when you realize that that death doesn't end it, you know, it's like Jesus said, "He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die." So I think that was a great hope. It was comforting, I'm sure, to all of the hundreds of people who were there that day to know that these kids, that even though that they were no longer on the earth, it was well with them.
What has this tragedy done to Harold Hudson?
Well, one of the things that I think is being conscious of the fact that every time that you come to a service, that somebody who is seated in that service may not be there the next time, because we never know when that day is going to come for any of us. And I think it makes you more aware how important it is to make sure that people understand that they can be taken off of this earth so quickly. And sometimes, like in an accident like that, if you're not already in the Lord's fold, certainly you wouldn't have time. So I think the message and what it's done to me is to make sure that people understand that that there is an eternity out there that all of us are headed for, that death has been dogging us ever since we were born into the human family, and he'll catch us one day unless the Lord comes back first. And you know, when that time comes, it's comforting to know that you'll go to a better place.
What about the church, Fellowship Baptist Church, the congregation? What is the result to the church at this point?
Well, I think, if anything, I think the folks are closer. It draws us all closer. I think it helps us all to be aware that we all know folks that don't know Jesus as their personal Savior. And I think it helps us to see and realize that we best get on about trying to win them now before some tragedy may befall them and they find themselves out there in eternity lost. And
you've been in the ministry 34 years. The last five has been here at Fellowship Baptist Church. You came from, I know, I remember when you were in Jacksonville, Florida, at Westside Baptist Church for 23 years, I think you said. A very large church.
Yeah.
In all those years of ministry, have you ever encountered or had a tragedy like this in the congregation where you were ministering?
Well, I'd been at Westside about a year. The church was very small at that time. And I'd been there for about a year. And we had, that summer, if I remember correctly, we had two people that had committed suicide. Mm. And one of them was a lady that had three kids, and she and her husband and kids came to our church. And so they got into some legal things, and the guy got in trouble and skipped out on his bail, and they didn't know where it was. And what happened was that the wife had taken the three kids, had a big old king-size bed, shot each one of those kids, Clinton was about 12. He used to come down on invitation. I still see that kid coming down, and he would tell me, I said, "Brother Hudson, the Lord's called me to be a missionary."
Praise God.
And the thing about it is, they had called me that morning from the funeral home and said that they had gotten a letter. Hazel had been into the funeral home a day or two before that and was making arrangements. And she said to them that her husband had cancer, and she just wanted to come in and look at some of the caskets and stuff. And well, so she had written them a letter, a detailed letter describing, what she wanted for the children. And And so they called me, and one of the ladies and I in the church, we met over at their house, and we were the ones that found them.
Oh my.
Inside. And that was a really tragedy. The lady was on the bed, still had the gun up to her temple. The only thing I could think of that she shot herself and still had enough to bring it back up. And then when she died, it froze there.
Mm.
And the three kids were all shot a couple of times in the head, and it was a terrible, terrible tragedy.
I do not envy you pastors at all. There's many times I thank the Lord he's called me to evangelism and not pastoring.
Yeah, it's it can be a very devastating time.
Brother Hudson, I appreciate so much you taking the opportunity to talk with us.
Thank you for having me.
And about a subject that is not often easy to talk about, I'm sure, as close as we are to it. But I appreciate that. Hopefully that'll be an encouragement to some pastor or some church member that may face a tragedy of something like that in the future. We hope not, but you just never know what the Lord may have store that we have to walk through before we leave this place.
That's true.
Thank you again, and God bless you, Brother.
Thank you.
Time now for a Giant update. Here's what's happening in the ministry of the Giant.
The month of February, I was able to participate in several Valentine's banquets, speaking to youth groups and adults alike. In fact, one of the youth services near Live Oak, Florida, turned into a real worship service. I mean, the Lord just moved in a mighty and powerful way, and we had a great time at all of those services. I was also able to participate in a brotherhood meeting at my home church, First Baptist Church of Lake Butler, Florida. During the month of February, I was able to present a presentation about our Donna West Africa Ministries and show a video from our 2004 trip. A local TV station out of Jacksonville, Florida, did a story on my preaching ministry during the month of February. They came to my home church. I preached there in February, on February the 19th, and they videotaped an interview with me in the service, and it aired locally in Jacksonville, Florida, in Gainesville, Florida. If you'd like to see that story, if you go to my website, jamescroft.org, and click on the bio info page, and then go down to the bottom of that page, you'll find the link there, and you can download it and take a look at it. Also want to let you know that Walking with a Giant, this program, is now featured on the iTunes music store. So if you use iTunes, you can download the program immediately from there. Want to also remind you to get in your prayer requests. Just email them to me. Go to the website and get my email address and send it to me there, or post it in our guest book, and we'll make sure it gets to Evangelist Ralph and his intercessory prayer group in Ghana, West Africa, and it'll be lifted up in prayer here and there also. A preaching engagement to tell you about: Sunday, March the 5th, 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., I'll be at New River Baptist Church, which is located at 16703 Southwest 144th Avenue in Brooker, Florida. I'll be preaching in supply for Pastor Jason Reed. For more information on any of these items and much, much more, visit my website at www.jamescroft.org.
Words these days are cheap, but there are words that last forever. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Let's get into that eternal Word now.
If you're excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning, would you say, "Boy, am I excited!" The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, over in chapter 40, down in verse number 2, it says, "He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps." My stars alive. Y'all, isn't this a wonderful illustration of salvation itself? That when we're in the horrible pit, when we're in sin, when we're lost, we don't know Jesus Christ. Y'all, we're actually in the middle of a horrible pit. Well, we may think everything is just wonderful, but trust me, the Word of God says it's a horrible pit. It's miry clay that just kind of holds on to you. You know what I can remember whenever I was much younger? I started to say littler, but y'all wouldn't have believed that. But I remember when I was much younger, I can remember one day me and my brother Eddie and a friend of ours that used to live in Old Lusty named Tony, and we decided we were going up to Occidental and fish in some of those holes of water up there. Man, see here, you could catch some catfish up there now. I mean, you could get some honking big catfish, and them babies would like to fight you. So we love to go up there, you know. We'd stop somewhere and get us some chicken livers, you know what I'm saying? And we'd put them up in the back glass of the car. I'm making you really hungry now, ain't I? And we'd put them in the back glass of the car and let that sun kind of beat down on them as we drove on up there, where they'd get a little crusty so you could kind of sort of at least try to hook them on the hook, you know. And we'd take that thing, we just kind of sling it out there, and chicken liver, y'all would just string like, but anyway, it'd finally get on out there, and it'd head out there, and boy, you could get some good ones, you know what I'm saying? But I remember on this particular day, we walked out there, true story now, we walked out there, and they had these little finger-looking things, little sandbar-looking things that kind of run off out in the middle of that big old hole of water. And so we got this bright idea, you know what, if we get out there on them sandbars, we get out there closer to the deeper water, and we can chunk that line out there, and we'll catch some even bigger ones. I bet there's some badder ones in the middle of that thing. So we said, that's a good idea. So I started out one, and Tony started out the other one. Eddie was back there piddling with something at the tackle box, and we got out there at the end of them little sandbars, and boy, I had that thing ready. I just knew I'm fixing to catch the hoss fish of all. And I slung that thing out there, and about the time I went to sling it, something gave way under me, and I went straight down, and that sandbar gave way with me, and I was down there about waist deep. Now, I know that's not real deep, but for me, that's still waist deep, all right? And I'm down there, and I went, hey! And about that time, Tony was over on the other one, and he turned, and when he turned like that, his feet gave way, and he went straight down to his waist, which was a little further. And so he went straight down like that too, and it's like I could not get out of that thing. I'm like trying to wiggle, and it's like the more I wiggled, the more that stuff was just sucking on my legs down there. And I'm thinking, well, I got to get out of this thing. This is not a good thing. And I'm trying to get out, and I thought, okay, I that was solid back behind me where I was standing. So I like reach back and put my hands back here, and I'll get me a good hold, and I'll just kind of push myself up because I have massive upper body strength, you know what I'm saying? And so I figured I would just do that, you see? And I put my hands back there, and my massive upper body strength was so massive that it gave way and my hands went down. So I like pulled them out. I said, okay, that ain't going to work. And Tony, he's trying to wiggle, and I'm hollering, Eddie, come help me. And you know what the rascal does? He went over there and helped Tony first. I figured, wait a minute, I'm your brother. What you, he ain't no kin. But anyway, he goes over there and they pull Tony out, and then they come running over there where I was, and the more I'm wiggling and all, the deeper I'm going, and it's like getting tight. It's like cutting off the circulation. It's getting so tight. Just suck it on me down there. And so one got me by one arm and one got the other one, and I'm like this, and it's like it just kind of popped up out of that thing, you know, about flew over the head and stuff. But y'all, I thought I was a goner. You hear what I'm saying? I didn't know what. Y'all, that's a scary feeling when you are totally out of control and you feel something grabbing hold of you and pulling you down and you can't do anything about it. Y'all, it's just like right here. It's just like when a lost person finally realizes, you know what? I am in the middle of something and I can't get out of it. You know what? There is nothing. I have tried my own strength to save myself. I have tried everything that the world has offered, and I can't save myself, and there's nothing else to do except call out, Lord God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost. I know I can't do anything about it. God, would you please save me from my sins right now, because I believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, and that he's on the way. Please come into my heart and save me from my sins right now. And do you know what? When you pray that simple type of prayer, and you pray it meaning it with all your heart, you know what? It's just like the psalmist says here, that you'll be brought up out of the horrible pit, you'll be brought out of the miry clay, and your feet will be set upon a rock. Y'all, I'm telling you something. When you find yourself in the muck and mire and the horrible pit of sin, when you call on Jesus Christ, he is ever faithful to reach down and just take you by the hand and pull you out of that horrible pit and put your foot solid on the rock of Jesus. I'm going to tell you something, that's some stability. Y'all, when you've got your feet on the rock of Jesus, it is stable. And I want you to notice something else. Not only does he just put your feet upon the rock, it says he established my steps. No longer do I have to wander aimlessly through life. No longer do I have to stand back and go, well, I don't know which which way to go. No longer do I have to worry about, am I doing the right thing or the wrong thing? Now I can turn to God and say, God, now that my foot is upon the rock of your Son, would you establish my steps? Would you tell me which way to go? Would you tell me when to go, how to go, how fast to go? God, I want you to lead me in every direction. And as long as my feet are on the rock of Jesus and He is establishing my steps, my goodness, the storm can beat upon the life of my spiritual life all it wants to. And you know what? I've got stability in Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something, y'all. We can get excited. Do you see why I say, boy, am I excited? My star is alive. When your feet is upon the rock and God is establishing your steps, you have stability. And when you have stability, life is a lot better, isn't it?
Oh, life is tremendously better when you have stability. And the only way that you can have true stability in your life is by having Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let me ask you something. Do you know Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you entered into a personal relationship with Him? Do you know, if you haven't, it's as easy as ABC. A, you've got to admit that you're lost. You know, no one stops to ask directions unless they can first admit that they're lost. And so it's the same way with our spiritual life. You must admit that you're lost. Acknowledge that there's not a thing in this world that you can do about it. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. I don't mean have a head knowledge of who He is, but a heart knowledge of who He is. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He came and lived a sinless, perfect life on this earth, that He gave up His life on the cross for you and I, and then 3 days later rose victorious over death and the grave. And then C, confess Him as your Lord and Savior. You must confess Him with your mouth. And then C can also mean commit. Commit your heart and your life to Him. He doesn't want a part of you. He wants all of you. And that's how He can truly be your rock. If you want to know more about Jesus or how to be saved, why don't you email me? Just go to my website and look for the email link under contact info and email me, and I'll be glad to respond to you. Or visit the section labeled Do You Know on my website, which is www.jamescroft.org. Well, that's all the time we have for Walking with the Giant for this month. I'm so glad you made us a part of your routine, and I hope you'll join us again for another edition of Walking with the Giant. God bless you.
You have been Walking with the Giant, a monthly update on the ministries of the James Croft Evangelistic Association. Walking with the Giant is available as a free web download, or you can receive the program each month on CD. Visit us on the web at jamescroft.org, or for more information, call 386-752-1563. This program is made possible by the generous support of our listeners and by the unmeasured blessings of our Lord Jesus Christ.